darkness too great, but your love cannot overtake. There is no stronghold too strong that your love cannot tear down. There is a hope that's alive. I feel it burning on the inside. There is a blood that overcomes. Oh, King of Kings, let your kingdom come. Every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. The God who restores what just what world the world was formed. You are the Spirit whose life is breaking forth like the dawn from night. You are the one who holds the keys, and every battle is your victory. This is the blood that's overcome. Oh, King of Kings, let your kingdom come. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, stronger than the grave. And your love has overcome the darkest of days. And your light is brighter than the sun, stronger than the grave. And your love has overcome the dark, darkest of days. Let every heart, so praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. Praise your name, yeah. Hallelujah. We praise your name, yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength to rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Testify, church.
Woo! Come on, worship the Lord this morning, would you? Worship the Lord. You know why? Because He's the only one who's ever known about you. He's the only one who's ever truly known about you, your past, your present. And you know what? The good thing is He knows your future. He knows your future. We serve a God who has an amazing characteristic that you and I cannot have, and it's called omniscience. He knows it all. He knows it all. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before you formed me in the womb, you knew me. And before I was born, you consecrated me, and you appointed me a prophet to the nations. You know, Isaiah comes along and reminds us that God has that kind of foreknowledge.
And sometimes it's so easy for us as believers to really, and how many of you can relate to this? Sometimes you just feel like, God, I just wonder if you have forgotten all about me. Come on, just let's be honest. We do. Have you forgotten all about me? But you know what? God doesn't forget about you because he knows your story from start to finish, the hills, the valleys. Pastor Joy was filming a devotion yesterday, and while I was part of the camera crew, I was listening to the meat of what she was saying. And what she was saying is that there was a time when the disciples were on the boat with Jesus. Remember the story. He's on the cushion, okay? He's just like, let me just take a rest here on the Galilee. And a storm comes up. And they are terrified. And he's at peace. And so everything that he is, he just simply speaks to the situation. And the winds that were fierce calm down. And the waves that were treacherous calm down. Can I just tell you, no matter where you are today, that same God is your God. Amen. You trust him. And he knows if you're going through the storm, he knows it. And so I might have been the cameraman, but I got the message. Okay? I got the message that he's our peace. You're my first, Lord. You're my last. You're my future. You're my past. And I thank God today that he is in control. The Bible says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, I believe it's around verse 30, it says, even the hairs on your head are numbered. Amen? I told somebody the other day, what's not turning gray is turning loose, but hey, the Lord still knows how many are up there. And he knows you that well. He does. He knows you that well. I'm so glad he does. Because there's not a place that you can't go that he doesn't have a foreknowledge of. And there's not a place that you can't go that he can't keep you in the midst of where you are. I just feel this morning that there are people that somehow just need to be reminded today that God, listen, it sounds like a cliche, but I mean it from my heart. God is totally in control. He is not caught off guard by your circumstance. So why don't you just lift your hands where you are right now and just be reminded today that he is your future and he's your past. He's your beginning and he's your end, and he's everything in between. He's everything in between. Those years, have you ever said this? I've wasted. No, you haven't wasted. You're on course. You're on course. Have you ever said this? If I had it to do over again, you know what you'd do? You'd do it the very same way. You would. How about this one? Boy, if I knew now what I knew then. No. You didn't know it then. That's why you're where you are, okay? But thanks be to God that gives us what? The victory through Christ our Lord. Lord, we proclaim victory today in this house. God, we're not discouraged. We're encouraged. We're not defeated. We're overwhelmed at your goodness, God, because you take us through the hardships, the valleys, the trials, the difficulties, the winds, the waves, the persecution, the hurt, the shame. Lord, you take us through it all. And we just know that you're our future. And you're our past. And we take delight in that today. In Jesus' strong name. Can we sing that for strength one more time? You are my first. You're my last. Hallelujah. Come on. Yes, you are, Lord.
You are my last.
You are my future. Through the past, and the psalmist said, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil, for you are with us. And we give you praise for that today in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. 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 Well, you can be seated in His presence today. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God today. Don't you appreciate these guys? Come on. Musicians, singers, people who serve. Thank you guys for serving us today. You know, we take for granted. Sometimes if you're not careful, you'll just look at those guys on the back line and say, what are they doing? What are they doing back there sitting in front of a machine? Why we got to have such a big computer? You know, there's so many factors that make a service complete, and everybody does their part, and we have a great team. Pastor Joy can tell you, I brag on you guys all the time because you guys do an absolutely incredible job, and we appreciate what you do. And because of what you do, guess what? The nations can listen this morning, 182 of them, amen? And so we give praise to God for that. Hallelujah. The founder of King Television, Pastor John Rachel, is touching the globe. I'm telling you, touching the globe. Services with as many as 90,000 people on the ground. 90,000 people on the ground who walked. Many of them walked to get to the service. He's in the States right now. He's trying to work out so he can come and be with us for service. And I would love for you to meet him. He's a tremendous, very humble man of God, but tremendous man of God who God has uniquely gifted to be able to touch the world through the tiny nation of Pakistan. And I hope you get to meet him. He's an incredible guy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's time to give. Amen. Give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many of you know God is a faithful God? Amen. He really is. And so you can avail yourself right now to the buckets if you're giving. Online, you can do so by way of the app, the church app. You can do so by texting. There are all kinds of ways that you can give your tithes and your offerings to the Lord. We just want to say thank you for doing that. Because of what you do, we're able to do what we do. Amen. And together, everybody accomplishes a whole lot more. So thank you so much. Father, bless gift and giver right now. Those who are sowing into even the TV ministry, Lord, there are partners who give $125 a month that make possible the ministry of this little house in North Carolina be extended across the globe. For that, we're thankful. Thank you for faithful people who share the vision, see the vision, and participate in the vision. And for that, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, look, come on, let's just worship the Lord one more time and give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today is going to be so much fun because today is Mother's Day. We call it Marvelous Moms. Come on, somebody. Marvelous Moms. And we give honor to you women today, those of you who are watching online, those of you who are mothers. We give you just a word of appreciation and gratitude today because of what you've done. You know, you've served your family, you've raised up your children, and so we thank God for that tremendous sacrifice. Today, Pastor Joy is coming, and she's going to lead us. We're in a series, by the way, called Heartstrings in the month of May. We are dealing with passages from the Psalms, and today there's a very powerful passage that also speaks. It was powerful how that last song was really about God's omniscience, how He knows everything. And so that passage is going to be shared with you today about how God knows everything about you, even before you were born. So would you give it up for Pastor Joy today as she comes and shares with you Marvelous Moms? Praise the Lord. I'll fix this for you.
Amen. How many were able to call or stop by and see your mom already this morning? Oh, great. How many brought your mom with you today? Wonderful.
How many of you are watching on TV because you took yourself away to go to your mom? Come on, how about that?
Yes, there's some of those too. I'm excited about today because a lot of times on Mother's Day, I'm one of those that have lost their mom. And so I always get in this little mood, you know. April, usually, the end of April, always begin to think, oh no, Mother's Day is coming up. Everybody's going to be celebrating except for me. But I learned a couple of years ago that I can continue to celebrate my mom, even though she's not here. And I can celebrate myself as a mother and my children as mothers. So it has changed through the years of how we celebrate and why we celebrate. But I honestly think the older I get, the more I celebrate who my mother was. It's a shame that she's not able to sit beside me today where I could really tell her. My mother passed away when I was a lot younger. I think I was 30 when she passed away. She was killed in a car accident. I'm now older than my mom was when she was killed. She was very young. She was 53. And it just changed the course of our family. My mother was a very strong woman with a strong sense of responsibility and a huge awareness of who our family was and where she wanted to take us with Christ. I'm just going to ask, go ahead and ask Kathy Montanez and Kaiasia Carter to come on up, because Pastor has set my thing down low, which means he wants me to sit while I share. And ladies, we won't have to sit if we don't need to. You can get up and get all if you want to. Sometimes that helps. But I just want to start out today by sharing from Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I love that. I probably would not have chosen Psalm 139 to share today. Pastor chose that psalm. He wanted to pull from that psalm today. And it has opened my eyes a lot to what's going on in Psalm 139. Y'all are going to love this. The praise team is going to love this. Psalm 139 is actually a psalm of prayer. It's meant to be sung as praise and worship at services. So when we seek to learn, when we look for help or healing, when we celebrate blessings, as we mother our children, we pray. Prayer is the conversation with God, layered with all of these intricate levels which contribute to our relationship with God, our Father. We have been created by God purposefully. He knows us intimately, like Pastor said, even the number of hairs on his head. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. He is mighty to save. And he's always good, even when we doubt. And we do have those times, don't we? He is all-knowing and everywhere. Because of who he is, we are always loved and never alone. So we are intricate. We are intimately known. We are purposefully made. God is in control, and we are never alone. Today, I have on our platform with me two marvelous moms. Say it, girls, marvelous moms. All right. Pastor named it. He said marvelous moms, and I thought, oh, my goodness. Woo, that's such a platform up here. Maybe I'm not up here. But then I realized, no, we are marvelous moms. We have been made by a marvelous God. Amen. in His image, and we've been purposefully put on this earth to serve Him, to glorify Him. And so we are marvelous moms. And each of us are at different stages in our lives as women and as mothers. So I'm just going to take a little bit of time for each person to introduce themselves. You know me. I'm pastor's wife, Joy, and I have three adult kids, and I have six of the most wonderful grandchildren you have ever seen in your life. And I know that there's some more coming behind them. Thank you, God. And I recently retired from working as a chaplain with hospice in the healthcare field. And I have enjoyed, for the first time after retirement, being able to weekly invest in some of my grandchildren. And I think it has definitely made me a better mother because I am following in the footsteps of Abby as a mom. When I go to her house to take care of Eli on Mondays, I have Mimi Mondays, and I get to take care of them on Mondays. And when I go to Abby's house, I realize that she's walking in some of those years that I walked in. Pastor and I both worked jobs. He was in seminary, and I would get home, and everything would have to fall right minute. It had to be on the minute. We had to leave the house by that. We shared one car. He worked nights. I worked days. We had to get the kids up by a certain time. I would drop them off to school, head to work. You know, you cannot be late. Then after work, pick the kids up. You cannot leave work late because the daycare will charge you a lot of money for every 30 minutes you're late. And then rush back, because when I walked in the house, he was walking out of the house. We shared that one car. Everything had to fall in line, minutes of each other every day. And that's where I see Abby at now. She has to leave the house at a certain time in the morning, drop Ava off, go to work, and it is just minute by minute by minute. So that's kind of where I am. That's the season of life that I'm in. So, Kathy, share with us your season of life.
Is this on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, my name is Kathy Montanez, and I am a single mother. I have three children. I recently adopted a third child, unofficially. She's turning 18 soon. But she is one of my children now. We are a very diverse family. I am the child of Mexican parents. And of course, my children are two. But now I have my daughter, Elena, who is, Hispanic for all intents and purposes. I have my other daughter, who is Afro-American. And I have my son, who is a disabled child. So we're just a diverse family, different kinds of needs. And as a single parent, as a single mother, it has been tough. It has been very, very tough. Just meeting each of their needs, which are very different. They're at different stages of their lives. And my two daughters, they're graduating from high school, the early college, and so one is going to NC State.
Yes!
Yes, yes, right? Right. My other daughter, Ashanti, we're still trying to figure her out. Air Force maybe, workforce maybe. I'm going to give her a little bit more time, maybe the summer, to figure out what she wants to do. But and then there's Julian, who has another year of high school next year. And he is the one that I worry about the most, simply because Husky, I have loved it for, you know, growing up children. It is the best. I grew up in California, and it is the most terrible place to grow up in. You have access to everything right down the street. It is terrible. But here, you literally have to drive everywhere. It is a woods everywhere. It's tree after tree after tree.
Poor cell service.
So, you know, my kids didn't have access to anything. They grew up pretty sheltered in, you know, the important ways. But in the same time, for a special needs child, it's very limited on what they offer. So my plans, I don't know about God's plans yet, I'm still praying about it, are to maybe move, maybe to another state, a bigger state, bigger city. So that is where I am at.
Well, I am Kaija Carter. I am the wife of Jeffrey Carter. I have three children. I have Aubrey, she's my oldest girl. I had Aubrey when I was 16 years old. I had her when I was really young. Kyrie, he is 6, he'll be 7 this year. Kyrie is Kyrie, he is nonstop. And I have little Skylar. Skylar will be 1 on the 12th, and I live in Skylar's world. Skylar runs me. I haven't went back to work yet because Skylar runs me. I live in Skylar's world. But I was raised here, and I was raised in Hurstville, North Carolina. We have dreams also of moving. We want to kind of branch out. My husband's from the city. He's from New Jersey, so I'm not ready for that yet, but I'll go to Raleigh, maybe Charlotte or somewhere. But my main thing is, I haven't left yet, is because my mom. My brothers left, and one went to Texas, one went to Raleigh, but I love my mama. I moved closer to her. I'm literally like 2 minutes from her. That's my baby. And I'm kind of nervous to leave her, but she's pushing for us too. But right now in life, I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm trying to go back to school maybe. I'm 26, so I'm still got everything in the air trying to figure it out. But being a mom, especially to 3 kids, is a task that I didn't think I would take on this early, but it's a task I'm honored for. It's something that I believe God really blessed me with because I have that caring heart to do so. I get overwhelmed, I do, but I wouldn't give it up for the world. And that's where I am right now.
Yes. Yes. So we are at 3 different stages, 3 different moms, 3 different roles, and a lot of responsibilities. So I'm going to ask a few questions that we'll get to know you a little bit better. Knowing that God has uniquely created you and has His purpose for your life, briefly discuss one aspect of your uniqueness that you have worked through or are working through and have come to understand.
Mine is a little different. Mine is, I call it being a nice person. I think that's the uniqueness God gave me, that aspect, because I took that from my mother. I'll give everything I have, and I'll be laying there half dead, but I'll make sure that person or that thing is, you know, done or pleased. And I say it's bittersweet because people will take advantage of that very much. Yes. They'll see that they know that you're going to give your all. So, you know, they'll definitely take advantage of that. But I'm learning, and I also, in school, I told myself, no, I'm going to say no. I'm just going to put my foot down. I'm not going to do this. And it never worked. I was never that person. I was always the one where I have to deal with it. I have to help them. And I'm learning that that's who He made me to be. That's just who I am. I can't go and fuss somebody out and be okay with it. It's going to wear and tear on me for days if I don't fix it. So that's just me. I take it as bittersweet, but I take it as that's the blessing He gave me. That's how He made me. That's the mother He gave me to raise me this way. And I'm totally okay with it now. I come to understand it, that's who You want me to be, God. Okay. I can't be a pushover, but He made me to be that person.
That's good. Yes.
What I struggle with the most is in my attitude. I used to be a very angry person, and you could just tell it by my face. You know, I can't I really cannot hide it when I am when I'm upset, when I am mad, when it's just one of those things. But also with my attitude, it's just trying to be optimistic in all situations, trying to stay away from the negative. A lot of things in life become negative, and we are around a lot of negative people, and it's just trying to be optimistic in all things, during hospital visits, during work, during the hard situations that kids go through, that we have to see our kids go through, is just trying to be positive in all of those things.
That's interesting, because Kathy, I see you as a positive person. And I would have never tagged you as angry. I'm so glad I didn't know you when you were there.
I'm so glad you didn't know me then either.
And Kaiji, you're right. When I call Kaiji and I ask her to do something, I never question if she did it, because I know she's done it. Mm-hmm. She's done it, checked it off her list, and gone to the next thing. And she is kind. We can all agree with that. Uniquely, I am learning something presently myself, that I am only in control of me. I can't control anybody else. I can encourage my adult children. I can support them in positive ways. I can caution them, but it's their decision. It's not mine to make. And it's the same way with friends. It's the same way with my sister, my brother. It's the same way with anybody in my life. I can encourage you. I can support you. I can caution you, but it's your decision. And I'm okay with that. I'm getting okay with that. Because they're adults. They have learned about the things of God. They've learned from my faults, from my challenges, from my decisions. And I know that God will speak to them and provide guidance, just like he speaks to me and provides guidance for me. And God will guide them and guide you and guide people to do as he's done for me throughout the years. And yes, there are going to be some wrong choices, but there are going to be some very right choices also. And God will see them through those things. He will grow them through, just like he's growing me. Amen. Yes. So, knowing the tremendous value of a mother, and looking back to your mother's influence on your life, how did your mom influence you?
My mother, just a little bit backstory. We grew up in, like I said, in California, and we did not know Christ until we came to Baltimore, Maryland, when I was about 15 or 16. So for most of our youth, we grew up in the world, you could say. But her actions up until we knew of Christ were, what I can remember is her never giving up. Just in providing for us, she worked. I remember her working 3 jobs at one time. She was never home. Maybe she was home to sleep for 5-6 hours, and then she would go right back to work, and she would have my grandmother come and stay with us to take care of us, because, you know, we were still in school. We were just kids. I didn't keep my siblings until I was maybe 12. But her just not giving up and providing for us was something that really stuck out with me, because she could have given up. Yes. She could have given up, and she could have gone on, you know, welfare, and really just let us do what we do. And in California, you could really do a lot. Like I said, everything is a block away. But her always providing for us the way she did, it just really stuck out to me. And that is something that I try to do with my kids now. But I learned that providing for your kids is not always enough. We grew up with that, with the need to have, you know, conversations and you know, things that children need. And I didn't grow up with that because she was always working, you know? So with me, although I need three jobs, I don't get three jobs because my children need more of me than they, you know, I'm not gonna say that they need more of me than they do the physical needs, because that would not be true. But I need to be there for them also, which is something that she taught me. You know, it was a negative thing that happened, but something positive came out of it in my adulthood.
My mom, for me, I would say the same thing. She did it all. She encouraged us never to give up. Growing up in our household, my mom went through a lot. Before she had me, I was her last child. I had two older brothers that lived in the household with us and my father. My father worked at the shipyard, and he was a carpenter. He was a worker. He never stopped working. So to see her, she worked two jobs also. She started driving the bus when I was in second grade, and she was a nurse. So she was there was always, but she did it. She was working. She would make sure she pick us up afterwards. Any after school activity, anything extra, go out of town, have fun, she was there. She always made it work. I remember, you know, every night cooking, because I would put my head against that window and beg for McDonald's, and her favorite line was, you know, we have McDonald's at home. That was her thing. But she cooked every night. She did it all. She did it all, and it's not even just taking care of the house, you know, inside the house. She had a green thumb. She worked outside the house too. We would get up Saturday mornings. Everybody would have to be outside cleaning the yard, but she would be into it. And to see her do all of that, and I never really see her tired. Now I see her rest, and I'm just like, she sleeps? Like, I didn't know that she sleeps. You know, to see her do it all when I was growing up, that really influences me to keep pushing, keep doing. I see that she made it through, and she's been through way more than I have. I could even fathom. So to see her do all of that is my push. She's my push.
Yes, yes. My mother influenced me to love other people, even the people that were unlovable. And so she also always encouraged me to follow God's plan, even when it didn't make sense in my head. And so I'm thankful for that. She showed me that hardships do come, and God will use them for my good. And sometimes that's hard to see when you're in the middle of a hardship and you don't see the good that would ever come from it. It does come. It does come. God's word is true. Knowing that the psalmist declares that all of our days are ordained by him, what is one of the most difficult things that you witnessed your mother having to face in her life?
This one was a little tough because my mom went through so much. And I was her oldest. I am her oldest. And I saw her go through a lot of things, but the things that stand out the most were failed relationships, personal relationships, and the loss of family. The loss of family is what really sticks out to me, because we have a large family. She is the youngest of 13 kids. But when we moved to Baltimore, all of our family was left behind, California and in Mexico. So it's literally just us here. And so she really had to give up her family to try to have a new life. You know, when she got married, we moved to Baltimore. And it was just leaving all of the family behind that really, it really stuck out to us. We weren't here by ourselves. We are here by ourselves. And I think it's affected her more than she thinks. I see her wanting to reach out more, wanting to go to California more, and, you know, but we're just so far away. It's expensive to fly down there now. COVID restrictions, you know, but I feel like she, that is something that, that really, something that happened and that has really just stuck out the most.
Excuse me. I guess the main thing that was difficult for me to watch my mother go through was losing my dad, losing her best friend. That was, it's still kind of hard to talk about today, but that was her go-to, that was her guy. My dad had two children before him and my mother, and when they got together, they lost those two children and his grandson in a fire. And she took on them just, you know, as if they were hers. And then when they had their first two girls, my mother lost those two girls also. So, you know, for her to go through that, and then in the marriage with my father, and she said it was okay for me to say it because I asked, my father had two outside children while in the marriage, but she still stuck by him. And I look up to that also by her because she is so strong, because I can't say I wouldn't do it, but I can't say what I would do, but I probably, you know, I don't know. But, you know, and to see her go through all of that with him and stick by him, and on my dad's deathbed, he gave his life to God. Like, my dad wasn't that person. He didn't really go to church. The family that he grew up with, they just wasn't. So for him to, you know, on his deathbed, give his life to God and really let it go, and, you know, he had lung cancer. He found out in 2010, and he died in 2011. But I always say that God blessed him with my mom, because honestly, I believe it was her prayers. I believe it was her faith and everything that got him to that point. And to see her, I remember she was holding my hand in his funeral, and I still can feel it when we walk in his funeral, for her to squeeze my hand like that. I never felt my mom, you know, kind of need my support. I always needed her support, but, you know, for me to be able to be there for her, it was an amazing feeling, but it was a sad feeling too. But so to see her go through that was probably the most difficult thing I've ever seen, but she got through it. She's still getting through it. She's stronger now than she was before, and that's amazing.
That's right. You know, through loss, a lot of times you don't like to think that you're teaching other people, but you're teaching other people. When you lose someone you love and you're going through the grief process, you're teaching those behind you how to grieve. And so your mom taught you how to grieve, how to move forward, and how to find that support, how to reach out and say, you know what, squeeze my hand. It's you and me, babe. Exactly. My mother married the love of her young life, but she married him differently. My dad and mom were engaged to be married, and my dad was in a head-on collision that changed his world and who he was. So she was encouraged not to marry my dad because he had changed so much. But my mom decided to stick to the promise of his proposal. So she learned to love my dad again the second time. And she learned to love my dad through the physical changes, the mental status, the memory issues, and all of those things that came as age came also. And so she showed me that even through the challenges that marriages bring, that aging brings, that you can love that person through those changes. And that was a huge thing for me. So kind of like your moms to you also, and your moms to you, those relationships. And you know that is so important to women, is the relationships that we hold is just so important to us. And it's resounding in the conversations today. What do you see as one of the greatest challenges you face as a mother?
I had a whole list of them. I'm just going to pick one. The lack of support. And not from my family, because my family has been great, especially in emergencies. I can go to them and you know, they'll leave whatever they're doing to come and help. But the lack of support from the husband that is missing, you know, there have been times where I need, I know Julian, you know, he's special needs and everything, but he's still a boy. And there are things that I cannot teach him because I'm not a man. You know, there are things that my girls need and I can't teach them because I am not a man. I am, there's just some things that I cannot teach them. But also in the physical, for example, Julian, he's heavier than I am now. He's taller than I am now. And so I find it frustrating when, for example, when he falls and I literally cannot pick him up anymore. I can use all my strength. And, you know, when the adrenaline is there, yes, I can do it. But then I can feel it in my back, you guys. I can feel it. When you hear me stand up and I'm grunting, trust me, it is because I have had to pick him up dead weight. And it's just something that I feel like I should not have to be doing because there is a father, but, you know, the frustration of not having a dad in the home, but also not wanting to just go out and just, you know, try to find any eligible bachelor, you know, it's not going to work for me. So that's been one of my greatest struggles recently.
I would say my greatest struggle is to stay connected with myself separate from a role as a mother. Oh. I am learning. I am trying to remember Kaija versus Ma. Like, remember it, you I matter too. I'm gonna use Miss Gwen as an example. I came in Walmart yesterday and I had just Skylar. I had just one with me and I still left my wallet right at Miss Gwen's station in Walmart because my mind is everywhere and I have to remember, you matter too, Kaija. Sit down, relax, breathe. And I said, I'm only 26 and I think sometimes just like, okay, how do they do it? How do they do it with 12 kids? Because I'm losing it with 3. So that's my struggle is trying to remember that, you know, I matter too. Even when going to buy food, I'll think about what they want rather than what I want. And sometimes I'll stop in the middle of the week and like, what did I eat this week that I actually like? Like, maybe I should try something, you know, that I like regardless of. And when I do that, I feel selfish. And I'm like, oh, man. Yes. So I'm struggling with that. I'm trying to work through it. But I have to remember that because when I'm gone, I wouldn't dare want to leave that on, you know, if I stress myself out to the point I get sick or something. I wouldn't want to leave that on my husband, all of it on my husband, all of it on my mom or someone to take care of my children because I can't physically do it anymore. So I'm learning now, take care of yourself too so you can be here.
Agreed. That is good. Self-care. That's one of the things that so many times we forget, the self-care. And that's for you too also, yeah.
I'm trying. Guys, I'm trying.
Yes. You know, the two things that topped my list probably was time and control. There again, people, there's the control. Time and control. We all want to control our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings, our responses. But as a mother, let's just be honest, we have limitations. We're human and we make mistakes. We say things without thinking through. We say things out of anger. We say things to attempt to gain control. We say things because everything else has failed and we're just grasping at straws. And then we end up hurting the loved ones that we're trying so hard to take care of. And realizing we only have a certain amount of time. And I guess that's why Mimi Mondays are so important to me, because I feel like God is just giving me that time with them that I may not have had with my kids when I was working full time and when I was younger. So I guess time and control are the things for me, but I'm going to add self-care to mine also, ladies, because that was on my point list too. What is one life characteristics that you would love to see manifested in the lives of your children?
I had a list for this too. But, so for Elena, she's pretty well-rounded, I think, or that's what she lets me see anyway. But the one thing that I feel like she could use a little bit more work on is thoughtfulness. She can forget to be thoughtful, especially with her brother. But just overall, being thoughtful is just not one of those things that she's worried about right now. So that's for Elena. For Ashanti, because she's had such a hard life up to now, I feel like for her, I'd like for her to have childlike wonder at life. To just, you know, be curious, to be, you know, just wanting to do things and to get out of the hard mentality that she's got and to just be a kid again, a teenager. For Julian, I was gonna say confident, but if you know that kid, you know that he does not need any more confidence. He's confident enough. So for him, I've prayed about it and I've asked God, and for him, my prayer for him is that he be unimpaired mentally and physically. Those are the three for my three children.
That's good ones. Good ones.
I would say I would want them to learn to lean to God for everything, mainly. I took that on from my mom. Funny thing is, me and my brothers would always joke because she would be up in the morning screaming and hollering and weeping and praying. And we're like, what is wrong with her? Like, why is she in the living room going crazy? And she would be, you know, just giving it all to God. And now I totally understand why. I understand why she would be up early mornings praying and late nights praying. And I took that on from her, and I pray that my children take that on too, to learn to pray through everything. You know, even when you're angry, when you're mad, sad, just, you know, pray for it. And honestly, I can say with Aubrey, I notice a lot of times she'll be like, thank you, Jesus, like out of nowhere. And I'm like, ooh, she's catching. I'm like, she, you know, even if it's a good thing that's going on. We, just recently, the storm that passed, that's one of my things I struggle with is storms. I don't even like heavy rain. I struggle with it. And I noticed that Aubrey was doing the same thing. She's kind of, you know, getting anxiety from it. And I was like, okay, God, I need to pray through this so she can catch on to pray through this. So ask my mom. I walked through the whole house and continued praying throughout the whole storm. And I was like, I know we're supposed to be sitting down being quiet, but I can't because my nerves. So Aubrey will start doing it with me too. You know, she's like, come on, mom, let's pray. And I love that. I love to see, you know, even if they get hurt, she was like, I just need to pray over it. And I'm like, she might be joking, but I love that she's catching on to that. She, you know, she's taking that on. So that's my biggest thing is pray through it all. And that's what my mother taught me, and I want them to learn that. Pray through it all.
That's so good. You know, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And those qualities is what we want our children to have. And yes, they can see them in us, but it's a fruit of the Spirit. So, you know, I love that the world has gotten this be kind thing. But the truth of the matter is the world doesn't know about kindness. You know, being kind to the world has a different level if you don't have the Lord.
That's right.
And so the world can have a be kind mentality, which is great. It's better than nothing. But the truth of the matter is without Christ, we don't really know how to be kind.
That's right.
And when the...
I was going to say, you can be kind in the world, but you expect something back for that kindness.
That's right. That's right. That is so true. So finally, now your moms are here.
Yes. She's somewhere.
So, but I was going to ask, Finally, what are a few words that you would love to say to her? Now, my mom is not here, and so I would say thanks is the biggest thing, because I'm not sure that she understood all that she did for us. And that all that she did was enough. God equipped her for what we needed. Not that she was perfect, but that it was enough. And I'm not sure she knew that. And I sure hope and I believe that God allows her to see my awesome kids and her awesome great-grandkids. And to realize that her legacy continues on by serving God and loving others and being determined to follow your calling even through the hardships. So that's what I would love for my mom to know. How about you?
So, my mom, wherever you are in the church, she was helping. Doña, gracias por ayudarme a crecer en la persona que me convertí, con las buenas experiencias y las malas, las buenas porque me ayudaron a disfrutar la vida y las malas porque me moldaron a ser quien soy hoy. Las dos cosas me moldaron a ser una persona que tiene compasión, una mujer que es fuerte y una mamá que es paciente. Happy Mother's Day. I'm going to say it in English for you guys. Mom, thank you for helping me become the person that I turned into, with the good experiences and the bad ones. The good ones because they helped me enjoy life, and the bad ones because they helped mold me into the person I am today. Both things helped mold me into a person who was compassionate, a woman who was strong, and a mother who was patient. Happy Mother's Day.
I love that.
Mom, I want to say thank you. I couldn't say it enough. You are more than I deserve. You really are. You have raised us to be all that we can be, but you are beyond what we deserve. That's all I can really say. We don't deserve you. You are amazing. I couldn't have asked for a better mom. God really blessed me with an amazing one. I remember being in school, and the other girls' mom had me when she was 36. Sorry for telling your business. But I would say the other girls' moms were a little younger and would let them do everything under the sun, and I was just like, ugh. And my mom was old school, and she wasn't having any of that. That's why when I got my freedom, I went a little crazy, and I did too much, but I learned my lesson. So she, you know, when... She
that old school is good.
Yeah. So now being, you know, growing up and getting saved, I would say God blessed me with the perfect mom, because some parents don't raise you to know God. They raise you to do everything but my mom, that was her main thing. If you notice, under every picture she put on my Facebook, make sure you put God first. Make sure you put God first. Anytime she posts something, make sure you can put God first. And she's always said this to our whole lives. So I'm honestly blessed to have you. That's my biggest blessing, I would say. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day.
That is so good. Now, ladies, this is probably just another one of those that you would have multiple answers. But there's a scripture that stands out to you at this season in your motherhood. One that would possibly encourage another woman, or one that has kept you through hard times. What would that scripture be?
So mine was, and I really had to think about this, because I had to think about the season I'm in now. But the one that really stood out to me was Joshua 14, 11 through 12. And it says, as yet I am strong this day as I was the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in this day. And I left it at that because I, for several years, I thought that once I had my kids, that was it. Like the, I, you know, with my son's disability, I was very limited as to what I can do. I can, I'm not gonna say barely work, but it's very hard to go to work and not worry about him. My girls, I really don't worry because they, you know, they can handle their own, and if they really, really need me, they know that they can call me and I will go handle things. But with him, I've been very limited as to what I can do. I've tried going back to school 3 times in the last 16 years, and I have not been able to because something happens with him. And you know, when you go to school now, they will not let you, you cannot have any absences, or you have to start the course again. And so that scripture really stands out to me because although I am at the age I am, I'm gonna tell my business, I'm 37, and I feel, I used to feel like at 35, I was like, I'm halfway there. Like, I'm getting old. You can see but the gray not. Hairs, but you know, I dyed
I felt that way too, but you're not, you're young.
You know, my bodily strength is not as it used to be when I was in my 20s. My patience is not as it was when I was in my 20s. But God just kept reminding me, there's a Spanish song with that verse, and God just kept repeating it over and over to me. Every year, about this time, when my kids are about to leave school for the summer, and I want to start school during the summer, you know? I don't want to be stagnant. And so it's just something that God just keeps reminding me over and over again. Caleb was 85 when that verse was written. And I'm like 30, 37, 85. Well, I might not be that old yet. I might still be able to do something. Even if I have to wait a few more years, it's just don't give up. That is something I want to say to mothers who feel like they're stagnant and they feel like motherhood is it. It is not it. There are more things to do, and God will give you the strength to do what you want to do if it is in his plans to do it. Don't give up. And if God says no, that is a whole other thing. But if God has not said no to you, and you feel like you're too old to do something or you too young to do something, God will give you the strength to do it at whatever age you are in.
I would say my scripture is my favorite scripture. It's Psalms 37:37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. That stuck with me since I was 16, since I had Aubrey. I would say that scripture came because it just showed me that you follow him, everything's going to be okay. Like, what wrong could he, you know, take you to? Everything is going to be just fine. You have to just give it all to him. And like we say at Bible study, it's so hard to just put it down and give to him and leave it there. That's what I struggle with, actually leaving it there. Like, I'll put it down, I'm like, God, I'm giving it to you. And then I'll come back the next day and pick it right back up. So I feel like with that scripture, it's just saying, follow him. Allow him to actually lead me to where I'm supposed to be, to find what my purpose is, honestly. So as a mom, I would say, you know, that's what, and I'm pretty sure all moms struggle with that, with feeling like you have to take care of everything. You have to, you know, cover it. Her favorite thing, she used to say, you know, if you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. And that is so true.
And we all heard that one.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know.
We all said that one.
Yes. Okay. So I feel like, you know, that scripture just tells me to follow him. Let him lead me. Give it to him. And don't pick it back up.
Amen. That's great. That's great. It's interesting because, you know, 20s and 30s and 50s, and I won't even tell you how close I am to 60, but but it's interesting because we're still in the process of being the mom God called us to be, or the grandmother God called us to be. We're still in the process of the different seasons and the different stages that we go through. My verse is, I thought you were going to say Joshua 1:9. I was going to say, man, I almost got that one too. But Romans 8:37 and 38, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. No matter our situation, God loves us. No matter where we are, if we're in our 20s, if we're in our 30s, if we're in our 40s, a wonderful, wonderful older lady was my hospice patient last year when I was working. And I remembered her saying, because she said, how old are you? And I said, I'm in my 50s. She said, girl, you're going through a midlife crisis. I said, I went through that at 35. Everybody tells you when you're 35, you're going through a midlife crisis. But she told me, no, you go through your midlife crisis in your 50s. People live to be 90 and 100 nowadays. She was right. She was totally right. You can have a midlife crisis anytime you want one. You can just choose to have one. You can have your little fit and allow God to work his way in you all over again. So I have to laugh because when you're talking to a 90-year-old woman who has been there and done that, she's probably right. You're just going through a midlife crisis. Whatever you want to tag it, you know, my season, this stage in my life, whatever we want to tag it, we go through the difficulties of life. We go through the difficulties of our stages, our seasons, and balancing who are we now. I was so much different when I was a 16-year-old girl dating him. So different. I was so different when I had my first child at 20 years old. So different. I was so different when I had Zach, my last baby, hoping for another but decided it was our last. I was so different. I'm so different now when Ava was born, but I'm so different now that Eli is born. I'm so different when we got Lexi versus now that we have Cleo. And when I am with the two boys together, Caleb and Levi, oh my gosh, I'm different and I'm in a different stage of life. So I think it's interesting to know that wherever we are, whatever season we're in, God is always with us. And he always loves us. No matter how bad we fail or how good we do, God is always with us. So I just congratulate you, marvelous moms. And I think we all need to get mugs that say marvelous moms because we are. We forget. When I look at you two on the outside looking in, I think, oh God, you're doing such a work in them. They're so strong. They're making such a difference. Look at their kids. But don't you know that it's each one as God looks down and says, look at where Bonnie Blow has come from, what she's been through, and who she is today. It's so important to say, look there at this individual. Look at my child. She's a marvelous mom. And I love her. I love her in this stage, and I know she's going to get to the next one. And those mountains will be moved. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Well, we appreciate you greatly sharing this morning. We have a little token of appreciation for you. And not only that, I want to, Pastor Joy and I want to do something for you guys from the church. I want you to both get your mothers and have a pamper day. So we're talking about pedicure, manicure, lunch, that kind of thing. So you just let us know when and where, and we will take care of the... Can't we do that, church? Come on, can't we bless them like that? Amen. Want to bless them. So pamper day for you and your mom. Pastor Joy and I just got our toes done this week. I do pedicures, guys, okay? How lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring the good news, okay? So lose your pride, jump in the pedicure chair and sit next to your wife and get your feet done. How often do you do that, Pastor? Every time she gets one, I get one. Amen?
Always
before summer hits. So we want to bless you with that. So you let me know when you want to do that, and we will cover your lunch and your pampering time with a pedicure and a manicure. Amen? Praise God. Pastor Joy, this is for you.
Thank you.
Kaysia Carter, this is for you. And Kathy Montanez, this is for you. Come on, one more time. Give them a hand, would you? Praise God. You can come on, Josh. And all of you moms, and by the way, Father's Day, we'll be doing the same thing. So we'll give the men a pedicure that day too, okay? All right? Okay. So Father's Day, we'll have a panel as well, and we'll hear from some of the men. Wasn't it interesting that you could look into the lives of people that maybe you've just... You just look at them, you don't really know that much about them. But also, just tremendously touched my heart that the greatest aspiration that Kathy has is that God would give Julian that complete and total healing. Amen. What a mother's heart. And I can tell you guys, listen, it's not something that people do a lot of this day and time, and that's say, hey, I think we're going to have Pastor Wallace and Joy over to the house for dinner. But I'm going to say it because it's true. I've been here. You have asked me to your home. And I don't go to people's houses, you know, unless there's a problem or I'm invited, okay? So, but Kathy and her family have probably had Joy and I in her home and fixed a meal probably 12 times at least. I know we've been in their home just to sit and enjoy their culture and their food. And it's always been a tremendous blessing. And probably one of the least likely. You're a single mom. You're working. You got things to do. But she said, Pastor, we just want to serve you and just bless you with a meal. So I commend you for that. And you invite me to your house to eat. I'll come, okay? All right? Praise God. Praise God. Moms, as you leave today, we have a good homemade treat for you as you exit the door. Please, it's moms who are present. Don't get to the door and say, hey, my mom's not here. My mom's got a friend who lit. No, no, no. You're the mom. This is the cookie. It's for you. But we don't have enough to feed the community, okay? So just for moms today, get yours as you exit the door. Just know we appreciate you. This is from Carpenter Shop International Church. And let me just offer an opportunity to pray for any of you moms specifically who, you know, you just say, Pastor, I hear the stories today and I'm going through a challenging season in my life right now. Can we stand together? If you're here today and you're a mom and you just, you know, this is specifically for women today. You just say, you know what, I have a special need. Maybe you don't even want to say what it is, but you know today you could just use a touch from the Lord. Would you quietly slip out of your seat right now and just come and stand at this altar, and we want to pray with you and just believe God with you. Whatever that need is, it could be physical. There you go. It could be physical. It could be emotional. Some of you may be going through a challenging season. Pastor, I just need someone to agree with me. So just go ahead. Thank you for your faithfulness there. Just step out of your seat and let's just believe God. Could we have some ministers? There you go. Just come and minister. Women, some of you women that are maybe not coming to the altar, come and just love on some of these gals. Would you do that, Pastor Joy? Amen. Amen. Heart, just move out and minister to some of these people. Lane, could you come and pray for someone here? Praise God. Let's just believe God for his touch upon their lives today. Also, let me remind you that if you're a part of the seniors ministry, If you're a part of the seniors ministry, please make sure you go by the Welcome Center today. Heidi and Lewis, our directors of seniors ministry, will be there. And they have a little something for you, too, for Mother's Day. Some of the women, if you're a woman in the seniors ministry, please go by there. And they want to bless you today. So if you need prayer, please come to the altar. If not, you feel yourself dismissed. And don't forget, there's a tremendous, tremendous bake sale out there. I know Pastor Joy and I put a, here you go, listen to this, 10-layer homemade chocolate cake there that we did not make, okay? 10-layer. We know who makes them, though. 10-layer homemade. Man, give a nice contribution for that. Take something home with you. Bless the youth. And let's just worship God together as we're going. Thank you, Josh. God bless you.